Blog Talk Radio.
Obvious complaints of black Americans and rooms full of whites. This, there's nothing more difficult than this, because we have really, truly good white people in important positions. And the fact of the matter is that there are a limited number of those positions, and unless we are conscious of the need to have more people of color, gays, other people in those positions, we will not change the problem. All right, but we're in a position where you have to say who is going to step down so someone else can have power.
All right, that's the principal question, isn't it?
who is going to step down so that someone else can have power? Thank you for tuning in to the C. Robert Jones
The figures that I've seen
situation report.
That roughly half of the American people are net recipients of benefits from the U.S. government. In other words, they don't pay taxes. They get things from the U.S. government. They don't give things to the U.S. government. This is very problematical, both for them, because their source of income is very insecure, but it's sociologically a time bomb, because you know how these people are going to vote. They're going to vote to get more things from the people that are giving it to them. I mean, it's an atmosphere of class warfare that's brewing in this country at this point, where most people have very little, and very few people on top have a lot. And I don't know what the consequences of this are going to be when going gets tough. Because one thing about financial and economic hard times, they always have political consequences. Always. You can see what they were. What happened in the 1920s resulted in a wholesale reorientation of American society in the 1930s under Roosevelt. And this time, since the U.S. government is so much more important to the average American than it was back then, when it was a very small thing, when we have real economic problems, financial problems this time around, people are going to absolutely, first thing, look to the U.S. government. The average guy who doesn't have anything is going to look to the government and say, do something, do something. And by God, they are going to do something. And it's almost always stupid and destructive. So that political consequences of this looming economic catastrophe are going to be very bad. But it doesn't end there, because there are going to be military consequences, too. I mean, this war against Islam, anything could happen. So this is big trouble.
When you spread the wealth around, it's good for
everybody. And that any health care funding plan that is just, equitable, civilized, and humane must redistribute wealth from the richer among us to the poorer and the less fortunate. Excellent health care is by definition redistributional.
Are you then calling for the redistribution of wealth in society?
Absolutely, without any hesitation. That's what the gospel is all about.
And then the third lesson and tip actually comes from two of my favorite political philosophers, Mao Zedong and Mother Teresa. Not often coupled with each other, but the two people that I turn to most.
Generally speaking, we get the joke. We know that the free market is nonsense. We know that the whole point is to game the system, to beat the market, or at least find someone who'll pay you a lot of money because they're convinced that there is a free lunch. We know this is largely about power, that it's an adults-only, no-limit game. We kind of agree with Mao that political power comes largely from the barrel of a gun.
Workers of the world unite. It's not just a slogan anymore. It's the way we're going to have to do our work.
I think the debate for the new generation, instead of capitalism or socialism, is we're going to have both, and then which proportion of each should we have in order to make this all work? It's a much more sensible debate.
But the dream was not to put one black family in the White House. The dream was to make everything equal in everybody's house.
If what you mean by economic equality is floors for everybody and ceilings for everybody, well, floors, absolutely. Ceilings, probably. You have the consumption tax. Certainly a consumption ceiling. Great.
Because we have been guided by a Republican administration who believes in this simplistic notion that people who have wealth are entitled to keep it, and they have an antipathy towards it means of redistributing wealth.
You state up front that your starting point is, quote, no-nonsense Marxism, unquote. But you dispel all the negative images we have been programmed to conjure up with just the mention of that word socialism or Marxism.
The wealthy are getting way, way too wealthy, and middle-income class is left behind.
when it gets out of whack, as it did in the 20s and it has now, you need to do some redistribution. This is a form of redistribution.
Definitely.
If you redistribute too much, then the system doesn't work because you take the incentive out of it.
No more broken treaties. No more broken treaties. Give them the wealth. Give them the wealth. Give them the dignity. Give them the respect.
The rich are not paying their fair share in any nation.
And guess what this liberal will be all about? This liberal will be all about socializing. Will be about basically taking over and the government running all of your companies.
A revolution has begun. Change is finally here.
Hello, America, and welcome to the very first episode and the first day of the future. This is GBTV, and the truth lives here.
What is it going to take to wake people in America up?
From that to here, one man changes the world.
All right, here we are. It's a Monday, and it's nearly the end of the month. Isn't it amazing how fast this month has gone? You're listening to the C. Robert Jones Situation Report. Today's date is October 31st, 2011. We're here in beautiful Alexandria, Virginia, just across the Potomac from the Watergate. I can see it from my window. 2011 AD. The United States of America, planet Earth. Third planet from the sun. We got a lot going on today. First, Herman Cain is now being borked or is enthralled in a high-tech lynching of sorts. He is leading in most of the polls. He's doing very well. Most of the conservatives and independents who are looking to Republicans to save our country are considering Herman Cain strongly to run to seek the nomination, and Democrats and liberals are acting accordingly. Some old sexual harassment suit that was lodged some 15, 20 years ago has now come back to haunt Herman Cain. What I wonder is, you know, when you have good people who are willing to engage in the sacrifice of running for office and then serving the country, why go there? Why go there? Why not simply attack Herman Cain's policies on the merits of his policies? Whether or not his policies make sense, whether or not they will bring America out of its lethargy, you know, all that. Because that's what's really important, not whether or not Herman Cain engaged in some mild form of sexual harassment nearly 20 years ago. Me, your humble host, have done quite a few stupid things in his lifetime, as I'm sure that many of you have, things that we regret. Should those things be held against us right here and now? I don't think so. And I don't just say this for Herman Cain because, you know, I like some of his policies. I don't like them all. I like some of his policies and the fact that he's a conservative. I said this very same thing years ago when Bill Clinton was running for the presidency. Should the fact that he liked the ladies hamper his ability to run the country? Should the fact that he's pretty much a horn dog and, you know, he's a man, should that hamper his ability to do his job? And no, I don't think it did. In fact, I've said many times that I believe that Bill Clinton was a fairly good president. He did a pretty good job. And at the end of his presidency, the day before he left, he said to one of his cabinet members, "We did a lot of good. We did a lot of good." And I tend to agree. He did do a lot of good. The fact that he, you know, was a lech, that's beside the point, really. Now, the fact that he lied about being a lech, that's the thing I had problems with. And no, I did not like a lot of his policies. I didn't like many of them at all. But all in all, President Clinton did a pretty good job. And I defended this this parade of ladies, him against this parade of ladies who came out and suggested that he was just no damn good because he liked the ladies. I like the ladies myself. So, I mean, I can't hold it against a guy. So why hold, I mean, many of us have said things off color many times. Leave the man alone. Let him go. We've got bigger fish to fry. Bigger fish to fry. But what is in the news right now is a whole lot of craziness going on. Now, Herman Cain says that these issues are totally baseless, completely and utterly false. Well, doesn't matter here or there to me. And it was somewhere around 20 years ago, 15, 20 years ago. It's no big deal. Let that go. It was a nice try, though, because that's what those folks do. Hey, but we're gonna move along here because there's something else I'm interested in, something you may have heard about. Muslim Brotherhood is what I like to call it. And if you tune into Glenn Beck TV, you'll see what I'm talking about. Minister Louis Farrakhan, in the news again, because his boy, Gaddafi, got shot down and dragged through the streets, a la Mussolini style, except he wasn't hung upside down right next to his wife, which had to be embarrassing for Mussolini, even though he was dead at the time. So, Minister Louis Farrakhan is obviously heartbroken that his buddy got knocked off, especially in such an embarrassing way, pretty much begging not to be shot, begging for his life. So, he's lashing out. Now, bear in mind that Louis Farrakhan is widely believed to be the architect of the assassination of Malcolm X. It's believed all over the Muslim community and throughout the black community that Farrakhan was involved. In fact, so much so that Malcolm X's oldest daughter, you may have heard some years ago, was arrested and thrown in jail for a while because she sought to hire a hitman to kill Minister Louis Farrakhan. You hear about that? And she was caught because the person she was attempting to hire was an undercover cop. But the reason she was attempting to hire someone to kill Farrakhan was because she believed very strongly that Minister Farrakhan, or Louis, as I like to call him, was responsible for her father's death. So, hey, let's take a listen to what this clown has to say. You'll be astonished by what you're about to hear if you haven't heard it already. Sit down, take a listen. This is sheer, what you're about to hear is sheer and utter madness. Dig it.
Go on a shooting spree after being assigned to debrief soldiers who came back from the theater of war, and they're telling him of the things that they did that were against their conscience now. And a Muslim psychiatrist is hearing them talking about the rape of Muslim women, the killing and sodomizing of families. He couldn't take it anymore, so he just shot up the soldiers. They want you to think that
can't
he's
take
a
it.
Terror.
I can't take it anymore. But there is Louis Farrakhan. Remember, it was Nation of Islam that killed Malcolm X. Democratic Senator from New York, Robert F. Kennedy, was assassinated by Sirhan Sirhan. Where was he from? You're going to love this. Watch this report. This is an old report now from the 1960s on Sirhan Sirhan, right after RFK was killed. Watch.
Now being held by Los Angeles police in connection with the Kennedy shooting is 24-year-old Sirhan Bishara Sirhan. Details of Sirhan's past are slowly being pieced together, and as of now, we know this much about him. He was born in Jordan in 1944 and was admitted to the United States as a permanent resident in January of 1957. He is not a United States citizen.
Glenn Beck using the chalkboard again.
That's the only element that we haven't seen yet. That's it. We haven't seen assassinations yet. Every other element is here from the 1960s. Every other element.
Yeah.
God help us all. God help us all. But if you're trying to recreate the 1960s, which they're all trying to do, I'm telling you, they're going after the Weather Underground blueprint.
What if every new day we felt the way we do every new year? And we believed in the power of a promise. At Genworth Financial, we help millions of people keep their promise.
All right. All right. So here we go. We've got Louis Farrakhan suggesting that, and now bear in mind, he was not admitted to any of the private sessions between the doctor and warriors coming back from war. The doctor has not suggested any such thing, that soldiers were coming back, warriors were coming back, and stating that they had raped and murdered children and women and children and all that. He never said anything like that. None of that's come out into the news at all. So where Farrakhan gets this information is anybody's guess. But my man Glenn Beck is absolutely right about this. The one thing we have not yet seen is outright violence, assassinations. We have not seen the types of violence that some folks are predicting. Indeed, I have predicted that there would be violence in the streets, and there has been. There has been. Occupiers have knocked police to the ground. In fact, they have sought out violent confrontations just so they could get more news and publicity. They have sponsors. They have people feeding them money. They're asking for more money. In fact, as of today, the occupiers of Wall Street have sought out sponsors, sought out to trademark Occupy Wall Street. I am beating them to the punch. I have sought out trademarks of my own through LegalZoom.com. I throw that plug out there. I didn't mean to do that. It just kind of works out that way. I use LegalZoom.com. Contacted them a few weeks ago, two, 3 weeks ago, and asked him about trademarking some old WS stuff so that I could sell mugs and T-shirts to Occupy Wall Street folks. Oh, yeah. I love it. I'm a capitalist, baby. But there are folks out there right now calling for violence. A college professor is saying that unless the 1%ers give in to the demands of the 99%ers, there will be violence, that there should be violence. Folks, we're on the tipping point right here and now. We're at a place where this situation can either dissipate, where the weather will get to these folks and drive them home, And we won't hear any more of this until perhaps summer, spring. Or it can get to the point where the Occupy Wall Street crowd in various cities become desperate for attention. And then they seek to throw out the Molotov cocktails, the looting, suggesting that the store owners are behaving unjustly by charging money for items, and that is their right to have those things. Remember, please remember that these things are possible. Cuba and Fidel Castro. Remember this. Fidel Castro led a ragtag group of soldiers and civilians who were being hunted by Batista's soldiers, trained soldiers, trained fighters. Pretty much the Castro won by default. Castro won, the country was overrun and taken over, not by the barrel of a gun, but because Batista simply gave up. He said, to hell with it. I'm out. I'm taking my money and I'm leaving. And pretty much he lived comfortably for the rest of his life in exile. He just gave up. He could have gone on fighting. Castro and his group were hanging out in the mountains. And they were pretty much didn't have food, didn't have much shelter, and they were being hunted like dogs. Right up until Batista decided, hey, you know what? This isn't worth it anymore. I'm out. That's the reason why Castro won and wound up taking over the country. So what we have here in this country is a group of individuals who need to be tested. And with the weather getting bad in many parts of the country, this will be the test. I predict that a lot of these clowns are going to go home. It's getting cold outside. It's snowing. It's raining. They're begging for boots, for shelters, and for all kinds of stuff. They're begging for donations. I suggest they're pretty much done. Now, I don't know if you agree or not, but the thing is, things are really getting out of hand. And something's got to give. Something's got to give, and we got to figure out a way to get this situation out of the hands of these idiots. So, moving right along. You know, without saying anything at all, Barack Obama's silence, it speaks louder than all of his empty words. The president, who likes to define himself as a champion of racial equality and promoter of civility, has thus far stood by in silence. As liberals attempt to lower the stature of Herman Cain by portraying him as a conservative version of a Stephen Fetchit, by failing to address the prejudicial remarks directed at Herman Cain, the President of the United States has revealed a side of himself that reeks of a form of discriminatory selectiveness that should further discredit his claim to be the purveyor of civility and racial justice. Who can forget the president's response to the supposed prejudice leveled against his friend and mine, Harvard University professor Henry Louis Gates? Without the benefit of all the information surrounding the incident, as you recall, Obama rushed before the cameras to publicly condemn the Cambridge police, and specifically police officer Joseph Crowley, and insinuated that due to the color of Gates' skin, Gates was the target of racial profiling. and victimized by stupidity on the part of law enforcement. Do you remember that? Of course you do. Now, recently the president spoke at a dedication of the Martin Luther King Memorial. It was there that he described Dr. King as a, quote, black preacher with no official rank or title who somehow gave voice to our deepest dreams or our most lasting ideals, a man who stirred our conscience and thereby helped make our union more perfect. Well, first, King did have an official title. He was Reverend Martin Luther King, and he was Dr. King, although he earned his doctorate by plagiarizing someone else's thesis. That's a story for another time. Someone saw fit to let him go and have that PhD title, which I disagree with. I would never call him Dr. King. He plagiarized his thesis. But we'll get back to that some other time. Yet Herman Cain, a man who fits a similar description to Martin Luther King, is whacked and vilified by MSNBC analyst Karen Finley, who with a verbal billy club and drenched with a fire hose of mean-spirited rhetoric, then described Cain as merely a black man who knows his place. Barack Obama has remained silent to that, a black man who knows his place. Well, in fact, if he were a black man, meaning Cain, who knew his place, he would be the step and fetch it right behind all those other black folks who believe somehow that Barack Hussein Obama is the Messiah and that Obama has somehow done the black community proud simply because he happens to be of brown skin. Where is the president's usually predictable indignation? Why no public correction or call for mutual respect and vitriolic and lack of vitriol? At the Martin Luther King Memorial dedication, in an attempt to portray himself as a great black leader, how laughable is that? Obama didn't hesitate to put a self-referential spin on the narrative of Dr. King's life, saying that, and I quote, even after rising to prominence, even after winning the Nobel Peace Prize, Dr. King was vilified by many, denounced as a rabble-rouser and an agitator, a communist and a radical. Well, yeah, he was all of that. I'm speaking about Martin Luther King. But I think Barack Hussein Obama was attempting to cast himself in that role as well, wouldn't you? Barack Obama had the temerity to place himself in the same level, on the same level of Martin Luther King. And yet, soon after, he stood by while left-wing pundits with zero content of character made racially humiliating comments about Herman Cain that were based solely on the color of his skin. Solely on the color of his skin. Yeah, they did have a reason for it. They don't want to see Herman Cain's message get out. It's easy that to say, okay, well, a black man who is running for president, who is a conservative, we don't need that. We need to take this guy down. We need to take this guy down because we don't want too many blacks believing that the American dream applies to them. We don't want too many black folks thinking that they can be like Herman Cain. We don't want too many black folks to think that, hey, you can make it in this country simply by hard work. Hard work will get you someplace. Herman Cain epitomizes that. Hard work, education, intellect, and more hard work equals the American dream. Blacks will have you believe, and those so-called black leaders will have you believe that the American dream is not for you. The American dream is something that's unattainable. Unless we, your leaders, attain it for you. You'll never make it on your own, black man and woman. We, your leaders, your so-called leaders, Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, and so many more, we, our self-appointed leaders of the black community, will lead the way and thus line our pockets and gain power and prominence, while we suggest that we're doing it for you, because you can't help yourself. And so this is why Herman Cain is being met as a step and fetch it or a house Negro, because he epitomizes more than Barack Obama ever has or ever will, that the American dream is attainable by guts, intellect, and hard work. And sometimes not even hard work. I mean, intellect, I mean. But hard work and a little luck. Think about it. My main man, Dave Thomas, whom I did not know, started his business, and who is not black, I'm making another point here, did not have even a high school education until just a few years before he passed away. No, he worked for Colonel Sanders in Colonel Sanders' restaurants, building Kentucky Fried Chicken franchises all across America. Sometimes he even slept on a cot inside the restaurants overnight just to make sure things were said and done right. Then he branched off on his own, and we have Wendy's all across the nation and even in other countries. From a man who didn't even have a high school education, who got his GED just a few years before he died. That's what hard work is all about. But black folks, our black leaders, will have you believe that this dream is unattainable. It's not for you. The only way you blacks are going to get anywhere in this country is through your black leaders. Now, I've been on this black kick for a while, but now that Herman Cain has been called out as a house Negro, a step and fetch it, and a black man who knows his place, I'm coming back to it. I wanted to talk about something else tonight, but we're going to get this out of the way tonight. Remember, you black folks out there, you have a president, an historic president, the first black president of the United States, and yet, in the black community, unemployment is just over 18, 19, 20% in some cases. Under George W. Bush, it was around 8%. Under Bill Clinton, it was around 7, 4, 5%. Under Ronald Reagan, 5, 6%. Under Jimmy Carter, it was around 17%. Who are you going to call when you want the unemployment rate to go down? Some liberal who doesn't really give a damn about you? Or a Republican who wants the country to prosper as a whole? Well, you've made your choice. But here you have Herman Cain, who is a Republican, and you're calling him a house Negro and a step and fetch it. Now, thus far, our exalted black president hasn't said a word. He has neither corrected, condemned, nor cited his mentor, Saul Alinsky, whom he quoted at the Martin Luther King Memorial, when he said, and I quote, "We can't be discouraged by what is. We've got to keep pushing for what ought to be," end quote. Maybe the president said, maybe he also believes that if a black American such as Herman Cain is a conservative, he should know his place, and that especially in politics, they are nothing more than a stereotype or caricature. When not diminishing the memory of Dr. King by pretending to be so much like him, brazenly so, Barack spent some of his time making the rounds collecting campaign contributions in Hollywood from those one percenters. In the meantime, liberal comedian David Letterman is on a mission to replace George W. Bush with Herman Cain as the newest late night created Republican stammering idiot. If any of the Letterman top 10 signs Herman Cain's campaign is in trouble were applied to Barack Obama, the left would be picketing the Ed Sullivan Theater and demanding an Imus-style resignation. But the butt of Davis's jokes, or Dave's jokes, has been named Henry, as in Professor Henry Gates. Obama would never have stood for Letterman implying that Henry was less fun crazy and more crazy crazy. It doesn't end there either. In the same fairness and economic equity, the president who insulted the Tea Party activists by referring to them as racist and by using the vulgar sexual slang as teabaggers to describe American citizens, he has yet to condemn the behavior taking place within the Occupy movement. So far, Obama has not disassociated himself from a protest infiltrated by prostitution, public masturbation, filth, violence, and people fighting over money. Imagine that. The Occupy Wall Street crowd fighting over money, blankets, and food. Nor has the president called for civility from a nationwide movement presently populated by ingrates that scream police brutality after defecating on the bumpers of squad cars. Which brings us back to Obama and his disingenuous attempt to convince people that he possesses a measure of righteousness that sets him apart from mere mortals. When it benefited Obama politically, and he wanted to paint the right as impolite, he hosted a civility conference in Tucson, Arizona, quoted scripture, and called for a measure of tolerance. Can't you just see the halo over his head now? He demanded for himself tolerance. But he's unwilling to extend that to anyone else. It's amazing, folks, the hypocrisy that is going on with this presidency. What is amazing is that he is brazen about it. It doesn't matter. This president will stop at nothing. And I tend to think that we're going down a road right now that is going to be hard to recover from. I don't know. It's all just getting way out of hand, isn't it? The whole world is going crazy. And we're here now. We're here now witnessing it all. What can we do to stop it? What can we do? The only thing that we can do that I see is get the word out. Spread the word. And get people to get out and vote. join the Tea Party, anything to get the word out, not get in people's faces like Obama is telling his crew. No, not like that. But to organize so that when November comes around next year, we have at least some ammunition and we can get this guy out of office. Because quite frankly, as many have said, and I believe, we cannot, we, this country will not survive another 4 years of President Obama. We simply won't. Not as the nation we are now. Because when at other times in our history, when we had a president who went rogue, at least that president had respect for the Constitution of the United States, our Constitution, our guiding beacon of light and liberty. So he governed himself accordingly. At this time, we have a president who could give less than a damn about the Constitution. So he will continue, if he serves another term, to go around Congress to issue more and more executive orders. There was once a respect for the presidency. There was once a respect and love and admiration for the country. Even Jimmy Carter had it. There was once a guiding principle. There was once a time when the president of the United States loved his country. I don't give a damn who you cite. You can cite Carter, Kennedy, of course, Clinton. They love their country. Clinton loves this country. I don't know so much about his wife, but I know that Clinton does. So, goddamn Michelle Hussein Obama. Yeah, there's a story about her in the news. I'm going to leave that one for Tesla, though. I'm sure he'll love that one for Friday, about her being the angry black woman. Yes, indeed, Melinda. Glad to have you here. Southern Sense is in the house. Tesla's here. Marine Times. Yes, Melinda in the chat room is reading an article about the First Lady's approval numbers going down. It's about time. You know, the thing is, as I was saying, the president used to respect the Constitution and the country so that he would not attempt to go around Congress. Maybe once or twice, just for fun. But this president has got some serious business going on. And, of course, Michelle Obama's numbers are going down. Pay no attention to what's behind the curtain. You know, I bought recently the Wizard of Oz, the collector's edition. Comes in a really big box. Got a whole lot of memorabilia and stuff in it. Maybe a couple of film cells. And I was reminded of the wizard behind the curtain. Pay no attention to that man there. You don't see anything. These are not the droids you're looking for from Star Wars. You don't need to see our papers. Oh, and of course, my favorite, the Emperor has no clothes. Michelle Obama's approval, high still, but down slightly from previous months. Why? Because people are beginning, slowly but surely, to understand that these people mean the United States of America no damn good. Michelle Obama is turning into Marie Antoinette. Barack Obama is turning into some sort of a dictator. America is really becoming fed up with these two. And they pretty much want them gone. And you're right, Melinda. And you're right, Beach Bum. People are beginning to see them as fakes and phonies. People are beginning to see them as people who are trying to tell us what to do, how to live our lives, how much salt to put in our food, what types of food we should be eating. And they gave out damn fruit for trick-or-treat for Halloween. You know what? I'm going to tell you something right now. I read that way back in the early 70s when I used to go trick-or-treating. We accepted bags, shopping bags full of candy. I used to go out to trick-or-treat, and there would be shopping bags full of candy that we'd wind up bringing home. The one candy, the one thing that we could not accept that our mothers would throw out when it came to when from our bags was fruit. Fruit was could be tainted. Fruit could have razor blades in it. Fruit could have all kinds of, it could be injected with something. I don't know, LSD or, you know, the stuff from the time. We would never accept fruit. And here we have the First Lady and the President passing out fruit. You think I would eat an apple coming from that guy? I don't think so. But Beach Bum in the chat room and Melinda, they're absolutely right. While Barack Obama chows down on a slab of ribs, a slab with French fries bubbling over the side of the plate, while his wife is saying that, oh, I love me some French fries, I love me a hamburger, and she's seen chowing down, licking her fingers, her ass has gotten bigger by 10 to 20 pounds since she's been in office because she's been chowing down so much. She isn't slimmed down. The only thing slim about the First Lady is her arms. That's it. So she bears those arms, but she's getting big as a house because she's eating the burgers and the fries and the ribs and the rib tips. And she's chowing down and they're having ice cream and all kinds of tasty treats. And they're enjoying themselves. Meanwhile, they're telling us we need to cut back, that a restaurant should sell smaller portions, while simultaneously saying out loud that she can't resist French fries and hamburgers. Look at pictures of that woman. Her ass is getting bigger and bigger by the day. I mean her ass, not her. No, you know, her ass. She's getting chunkier. In those damn jumping jacks she was doing, I don't think so. How many did she do, 12? I'm getting off track here. I wanted to talk about the President of the United States usurping the authority of Congress and how we, if he's elected for a second term, we're pretty much done as a country that our fathers knew, or that we knew. Yeah, her 26 makeup artists. They're artists. They're not experts. They're artists. I'll tell you what, you're absolutely right. Back to Michelle Obama. You know, she can't do her own makeup. She can't. She is living like a queen while the President of the United States is trying to convince Americans that they're just average folks. They're just average American folks. They may have been at one point or another living in Chicago on the South Side. But not right now. Here's the thing. We're telling the American people that we need to cut back on the types of foods we eat. Less butter, less salt, convincing restaurants to serve less salt, less food, smaller portions, while Barack Obama is seated between 3-4 fat guys a couple of weeks ago, slugging down a beer. He's got a big plate of food in front of him. Looks like some ribs again. I don't know what's going on with the First Lady and her husband and these damn ribs. But they've got ribs, they've got hot dogs, they've got chili cheese fries, they've got steaks, they've got steak sandwiches, they've got Philly cheesesteak. Every time you see these guys out somewhere, they're chowing down on the most fattening, high-calorie food. They'll put Tesla's diet to shame. Even though Tesla's eating a plate of beans right now, I certainly wouldn't want to be in the room with him later on this evening. I suspect he'll be alone tonight. And thank God for that. But instead, they're chowing down. Vacationing off to the Hamptons, as Beach Bum indicates. Having a great time. Let them eat cake, I suppose. You're absolutely right, Melinda. They not only piss you off, apparently they're pissing off a great many Americans. But hey, just before we cut out of here, because we've got just about 4 minutes left, one percenters. Doesn't anybody believe that the Obamas are one percenters? They've got millions of dollars. They eat like kings. They live high on the hog. They're doing exactly what rich people like Michael Moore does every day, telling other people what to do and how to live their lives while they live richly. I did not see Michael Moore in New York with those crowds of folks making it rain. Dollars, quarters, dimes, hundreds of nothing. He didn't make it rain. And by make it rain, I think you know what I mean. The strip club talk even though I've never been to one, where you take the dollar bills and you throw them up in the air and the strippers grab them. That's what I heard anyway. Michael Moore didn't make it rain. All those rich folks who visited the Occupy Wall Street crowd didn't give any money. They didn't give away their millions of dollars. Michael Moore made $20 million on two or three of his films. Was he out giving away that money? No, he was not. Barack Hussein Obama. Yeah, I heard that the president wrote a couple of checks to some ordinary people from his own funds, which I thought was pretty cool. I'd have to go with that one. That was pretty cool for him to do that. But that's it. The deal here is that the First Lady and the President of the United States of America are hypocrites. Hypocrites. But we need to be careful, folks, in all seriousness. The President of the United States has gotten a taste of power like no other president has before. He is using the pen to go around Congress. This is something that we have to be very, very careful about. Very careful. When you go around Congress and basically say that Congress is obstructionist or dysfunctional, so you're not going to we're not going to be able to deal with them. I'm going to go around Congress. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to issue as many executive orders as I need to for the American people. That's a problem. This shows we have a president of the United States who is in office and he is out of control. He is out of control. And I can't see a way to bring him out of it, except to send him packing next November. We've got just about a year. This guy's got to go. He has got to go. So I want to thank you guys for listening tonight. Everybody who came into the chat room, you guys are great. We're going to check out tonight. And hey, I do appreciate you listening tonight. It's been a lot of fun. Hopefully you'll be back tomorrow. We'll talk some more about this stuff. You guys are great. Thank you for joining me tonight. God bless you and God bless the United States of America. I'm out. Good night, folks.
That was when I ruled the world.